67. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. Numbers 2:67. To you from God's holy word, Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. To the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing towards the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There they will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellions exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffers not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee in the way of thy providence to bring us in this evening in this house of worship, and that in a special hour, to acknowledge thy great and thy holy name for that wonderful work thou hast wrought in the days that lay behind us. Dark clouds were above our nation, and thou knowest all the meetings and all the conflicts and all the trouble, even to the last day before the releasing of that 52 people out of our country to come back to their families and to their friends. We have sinned away everything, and we could be in war already, and under circumstances as that the country was never in all the years that the United States were living together. Lord, that we ended in thee. The Lord reigns, and he is clothed with majesty. We hope in this moment to speak to the congregation few words, especially also at first, why that the congregation also is called in this evening together in this house of worship, that thy word that will lead us be opened by thee, that it may deep impression in our heart, young and old, great and small, and that the wonders of that free and that sovereign grace in Christ Jesus be revealed and be glorified in our hearts, and that the preaching of thy word in this evening bears fruit amongst us, and in the places where they will come together, it shall be very few, as we have heard. But, Lord, that it was in thy favor that we are in thy house in this evening. David declared once that one day in thy courts was better than 1,000 in the house of vanity and of sin, that thy favor may rest upon our gathering, and that we, under the circumstances that we are gathered here, that we experience that the Lord will help us, to direct us, to instruct us, and to give for the congregation edifying words, that thy name be honored and be glorified, and young and old, great and small, directed by the Holy Spirit, that it became for us together an unforgettable evening. Because thou hast said in thy word, acknowledge me in all thy ways. And that is also for an as a nation. And what thou hast done to us also in the last days which lay behind us. Gladden our heart, Lord, and remember us. And bless us with blessings of thy covenant. Remember us. 'Tis all sinned away. We cannot lay our hands upon anything than to condemn ourselves on account of our life. But for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only, and that thou hast heard the prayers and supplications that were sent up out of different homes and churches, and also in our midst time and again for that people, and that we receive in this evening a prayer for ourselves to be delivered out of the hand of Satan and to be delivered out of the power of sin and to bring back into communion with God, where in his presence is life and peace and all that we need for time and eternity. We are glad in this evening that we also see one of the mothers of our congregations also in our church. Strengthen her further, remember her with all the dear ones. Bind them and us together with all the other sick and afflicted at the throne of grace, and give also us few edifying words in this evening, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 41. Lord, thou hast favor shown thy land, restored again thy captive bent. Thy people's sins thou pardoned hast, and all their guilt has covered over. It is number 231. Beloved congregation, I think it is a privilege, a great privilege, this the Lord had given us in this evening to come as a congregation together in this house of worship. We are not living for ourselves. I thought about Cain, where he said when the Lord visited him after that he had killed his brother, that he said, I am my brother's keeper. We are not created in such a way. No. We are adored with the image of God. And that means that we love God and that we love also our neighbor. I will say something about a text out of Psalm 66 this evening, but not a sermon as that we are doing usual, but in regard to the circumstances under which we are living now with our country. First, I will read to you the text, and it is in Psalm 66, verse 9 and 10, where it said, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. There shall be people maybe in my congregation this evening who will ask me why that we come together. And first of all, it is a desire of my heart to give an answer to that question. And I have, as your minister, several reasons for that. And I will explain that with the help of the Lord. In the first place, because there is a special reason to acknowledge the God of our fathers, the God of the United States. There is, in general, no observing of what the Lord has done in the time that there lay now behind us. But what I will bring in your midst this evening, that is, that I am persuaded that the Lord has spoken. Some in the press, they give, if you have found that, all the honor to our former President Carter, that he had his hand in several things. That is true. And that he had phoned and talked with several persons in regard to this matter of the hostages who were for 414 days in a certain jail. We appreciate that. But the honor must not be given to Carter, but well to the Most High God for that special deliverance that the Lord had given to those 52 persons who were in captivity in a strange country. It came to a point after all those days and months that the whole world was soon set in fire, in flames, and in destruction. But what we read in Psalm 93 and in Psalm 97 and also in Psalm 99, that is right, that the Lord reigns and that He is clothed with majesty. That he still had thoughts about the United States. That he had still respect of his covenant. And that he also had heard the prayers who were sent up for that people in different churches and homes, and also in this building. Even that we know not any man of it, but time and again we have asked the Lord for strength, for patience, and that the Lord would uphold them in the condition in which they are placed. There is a second reason why that we come together in this evening. The Lord had showed his mercy and compassion in sparing these 52 persons. Had spared for an awful end of life. They were afraid many times that one hour or the other that they would shut them. And as that word is used, I hope you can understand it, fusel alert, that means brought to nothing, that they have no more being here in this world. And especially we read in Luke 13 about those Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And about those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. But why that the whole nation is not brought to nothing? And then there is another reason, a third reason. And that is found in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, where Peter wrote, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And then you read about the magistrates and the kings of the world in 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, that Paul commanded in the name of the Lord that prayers and supplications shall be sent up to the Lord for all those that are placed in higher position. that we have also to pray for the kings. And Friday morning, they have asked our new president to consider to have a Thanksgiving Day in our country. He considered and Saturday he gave an answer. And then he wants that the churches as a whole, that they would acknowledge the name of the Lord. I would say, we want that for everything. This morning, I spoke as usual in our school for the high classes. And we have to talk there about Article 18 of our Belgian Confession. That is about the incarnation of the Son of God. And that he was born out of a woman and born out of the lineage of David. I say to those boys and girls, we have a mediator and a savior who brought not his human nature with him out of heaven. That was the doctrine of Menno Simons in 483. But we believe that Christ took our human nature out of the Virgin Mary. Because as high priest, he was and became as one of us. If it was true that he came out of heaven, then he had not our flesh and blood, and he could never be our compassionate high priest. But where he was born out of Mary, he was one of us. And to make that a little clear to those boys and children, they're not little ones, but the bigger ones, I tell you, I would sometime, yeah, that is talk of me, you know that, but you are used to that. I say sometime, I won't be a mayor of the city. And if it was possible, even a president of the country, for one thing. For one thing, that the Lord's Day be honored, that there never was one store open on the Sabbath day, and that the country was living in according to all the laws of the Lord, because the Lord is worthy. But now our president asked for a Thanksgiving Day. And this day, January 29, was set apart by him for that purpose. Most of the churches have done it Sunday already. But of course, I thought even that I was in your midst last Sunday. That is, the Sabbath day is set apart to preach the gospel, not to bring politics on the pulpit. No. Thus I was glad with Thursday evening. They called me yesterday from the press about it, on account that there nog two other churches were this evening who had also service, but only two out of the whole city. And they say to me, we will make it known to the people that you have on Crescent Street also a service. But now, this day I heard that it came this morning early over the radio. Just that it is known, was known in the city. And of course now we are not outside of the Word of God, but it is based on the Word of God that we have an hour of thanksgiving for that great blessing that the Lord had given to those people. What have there taken place in their mind by day and by night? I have a third reason why that I have a desire to come together with you this evening. And that reason, that is finally a personal reason. You would say personal, yes. In the last World War, we were the last few years in Rijssen, in the Netherlands, and the capital of that province, that is Zwolle. And there was also an hotel, the same as we have in the Morton Hotel, in this city, where about 80 people was also brought in captives. Hostages, the same as these people. If there would happen something in that province, then they have to lose their life. They asked me to preach for their people. And I have done it. It was very dangerous at that time, because when I came in the evening with the train from Rijssen, then the police was standing by the train with the car and brought me to that hotel. And after that I preached there and have an opportunity to talk with the people. Then they brought, the police brought me back to the train, and in Rijssen was the police also standing there to bring me to my house, on account that we could not come on the street that time of the evening. And I have heard that people, and I have seen the tears. I have seen that anguish in which that people were. What shall happen with us? It were most of the time doctors, lawyers, and ministers, people that had a certain high position in the world, that were separated from their wives, from their children, and out of their work. And I personally have seen so many things, of course, and heard from that people what there was living in their heart. They were always in fear. What shall happen with us? What shall take place? One day, 14 days before that war came to an end, then they took out of that building in Zwolle 24 people and they shoot them. And they lay them on the road for 24 hours. I passed that road in that afternoon, 1 o'clock. Because 2 o'clock I have to preach in a barn by a farmer, a member of our congregation of Rijssen. And then we were also in that afternoon crying to the Lord for that people. For them it was already eternity. But there was nog 14 days more before that the war came to an end. And you can well realize some, they lose their mind. They lose their mind. I have heard that they were crying for their wives and crying for their children. And there were some that have no conscience, that they say when we have to die, oh, what shall it be? What shall it be? Now the Lord had delivered 52 people out of the strange country. You know, there was trouble. Trouble between two parties. On one side, those that were following Charles. But he was gone, and he was accepted in the United States. And there were so many telegrams and so many phone calls to the government to bring him out, to bring him back. Finally, he came in Mexico. He was operated of cancer. And finally, he died. But dead in Ireland, they were behind his money. Because he had so much money over the whole world that I think for himself that he even not know what his possessions were. And he asked a certain amount of money that I came back in that country. But even here in the States, there was a different meaning about that money. Rockefeller was one of them, and he advised no. But then finally, there was in that meeting one man, he said, if we rejected and neglected, then tomorrow we will have more. And after these words, then they promised to do everything to send that money, to give him assurance that they would receive it. And that other man that was ruling there at that time and still is ruling in Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, that man that thought that our country was entirely wrong and that those 52 people was in the building there as captive, that must be as a certain revenge for our country, and threatening. But now, after many disappointments, because they promise this and they say that, but there happens nothing. Till that finally the Lord inclined the heart of that people in Ireland too, and to give him permission to be released. There are several people sick at the present time and in different hospitals, because the shock is so great. Can I realize, because that people had a conscience the same as we have. And you read in Psalm 14 that the fool said in his heart, there is no God. He said that in his heart, that is in the Hebrew Bible, that means that he will make himself wise that there is no God. But what we will try in our life, that is all a disappointment, because the Lord proves that he is God. And he revealed that he is God in the conscience of men. We can well try to pass that by. We can well try to do something as that we think there is no God, but finally it come back, as I have explained to you the last time, out of the eighth Lord's day. And now congregation, now the Lord had given that people the privilege to come back to the dear ones, who of which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. The people that was in awful condition, they were the same as slaves, had to say nothing. They could not move one feet, no. And they could not be in public rebellious about it, no. Under such circumstances that people had lived there time and again, by day and by night. And that patience, what they needed the last months especially, after all the promises, and every time when it was evening, then hear the great disappointment, and that they were still there in that place. It became harder and harder for that people. You must say that they have not all lost their mind. That they have not all lost their mind. But the Lord had uphold them, and some, of course, they are searching out several things now, and I can well tell you this evening, it is not still coming to an end, no. And we don't know what lay in store from day to day, because the Lord is angry with us, and is angry with our country. But congregation, the Lord desired us to come on our knees. To come on our knees. And to bow before the Most High God. Today, when you hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the days of probation, but that we bow before the Most High God and again, what lay in store for our country, we don't know. But not so much good, no. And now that text that said, withholdeth our soul in life. The people that have realized how it was, but they have realized that they have a soul. And that they could lose that soul every day. And every night, once I was after the war called to bear it to one of the people that was also shot, sitting in a building, men without shirts, and wife and four or five children were left, and the parents of that man was also left. He was buried in Germany. But then later on, after the war, then they dig that body up and they brought it to that place where he was living. And we were in the Reformed Church there to that day for a service. On account that our church in that city and place where I was moderator, it was too small to take all the people that would come to that funeral. But when we were standing on the graveyard with that mother, she sunk down and faint. And her condition was awful. You cannot realize it. Thus, we have seen and heard so many things, what has happened when it is war. Sometime in Rotterdam, we have 9 o'clock in the morning, the first funeral, and 5:30 in the evening, then we go with the fifth one to the cemetery to bury them. And as sometime I came home, that I say to my wife, I go to my study room And I shut the door, let no one come in. On account of all the circumstances to live with that people, because I told you this evening already, we know not one of the 52 people, I think there is not one, also in my congregation here that know any one of them. But still, you are Americans. I am well not an American, but that I talk in that manner to you this evening, we are here for soon 34 years. And I am placed here as the head of the congregation. Shall I not have feeling for that people? We must well be so dead as a stone and so cold as ice if we have no feeling. Why not me? Why not my boy? Why not my girl? Why not my father and my mother? Why not? Oh, I hope that the whole city of Grand Rapids, and I hope that the whole nation may realize the mercies of the Lord bestowed upon us, and that it brings us on our knees, that it are only the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. But now finally, congregation, dark clouds are hanging above our country. Dark clouds. And that on account of our sins. And no observing what the Lord is speaking. And even ask God's people, and they shall be ashamed about themselves. They shall say, oh Lord, what must I be and what I am? What I am. I am forsaken of the Lord, that I have no feeling for my country, that I have no feeling for the people, no feeling for the parents, and no feeling for the little children involved in such a condition. And we are all traveling to that great and to that never-ending eternity. And it behooves us, congregation, before that I now say some other words to you, that we sing together 174. Come ye that fear the Lord and hear what he has done for us, for me. My cry for help is turned to praise, for he has set me free. It is number 174, the third and the fourth stanza. And now, beloved congregation, 'tis necessary for all of us that in our lifetime that we come to the knowledge that we have a soul created for eternity. Our bodies that return to the dust, but our soul that is immortal. And what an labors that the Lord had already bestowed upon our soul in our lifetime. For us, for our children, for our grandchildren. By the prophet Jeremiah, Isaiah, then the Lord, he said, what is there to do more to my vineyard than that I have done? Really? And when I ask you this evening, is the Lord free from our soul? What shall then be your answer? What shall be your answer? Even that we have heard congregation once the glad tiding of the gospel, and that there is hope for the greatest of sinners to be reconciled with God, and that in our heart and in our life that there is wrought a prayer to the God of heaven and earth, realizing that we have a soul created for eternity, and that every moment our feet can suffer to be moved from time into eternity. We have to learn the brevity of life and the necessity that I have to take place. A miracle shall be well to meet our Maker. Shall not remain as it is now. No. No. And what I place before you from week to week, that is that it have to come reality here in our heart. That we are placed before the Lord personally to give an account of all our work and of all our doings. That the Lord shall require it from our hands. The Lord had brought in our country his word by John Edwards, by Thomas Shepherd, by Whitefield, and by so many of God's true servants. And they still lay there. Oh, that still lays there, people. And if you read by the prophet Habakkuk, one of the smallest prophets, then he declared in the name of the Lord that the stones out of the wall and the wood out of the trimble, that they shall testify against us in the day of days. But now to cry unto the Lord while it is the time of grace. I was looking this morning to find the many texts that I preached for the people in Zwolle in 1944 and 5, but I could not find. It is not important, but still I know that it have taken place, and those sermons lay also for eternity. And then in such times there is nobody sleeping in the church. No. I have never seen that one of those people that were in that hotel, that they ever were sleeping, no, that they were listening. And when you were leaving, several, they left to go with you to the door. Tell that the guards closed them, and that we have to bid farewell to one another. In such days, then the word of God that have more value, really, because they have death before their eyes, but that is now for you and me also necessary, that they become eternity. And there is only one congregation who can bring that eternity in our hearts. And what he read in Psalm 130, out of the depth I cry to thee. And if thou markest iniquities, and thou come on the foreground, oh, that come on the foreground, not Christ, people, and not belief, and not accept, but my sins and my transgressions. Only one thing, as you read by the prophet Jeremiah, the third chapter, only acknowledge thine iniquities, that thou hast sinned against me. And when it here become eternity, then Christ come in. And he is there, stretched out his hands, and calling to come unto him, and to fall upon his feet. And, as we say many times in your midst, then I can tell you, congregation, that he shall not step upon you if you lay there. No. But then he is full of mercy, full of compassion, and slow to anger. And then he declared to a sinner that he had no desire in the death of a sinner, but well in their life and in their salvation. And now that text that said, for thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried, that is in the work not only of convincing and reproving, but that is in the way that the Lord uncovered us, and that he brings us in paradise, where we were created for perfect, and after the image of God, with knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And then, everything outside of Christ that falls away in our life. And he comes on the foreground, as that only name that is given under heaven, whereby that he must be saved. If you have an opportunity this evening to hear that people talk, what had take place in their heart and mind, in regard to eternity, and how dark that it sometime was, so it is necessary personally, with our soul also. It cannot be different. You read in one of our psalms, you know, it is that psalm that is so known to all of us, the course of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled over my soul by grief and sorrow riven. I turned in my distress to God in prayer. And that is the opening that a sinner now receives at the throne of grace. Oh, I know, in my own life, there are no better places than to lay there. Accepted our condemnation. Accepted my deep fall in Adam. Accepted my condemnation and separation from the Lord forever. But for that people came Christ in the world. And now we can say this evening, the Lord had given relief for that people. And he is worthy to receive the honor and the glory of all. Really. Because you read in the paper now that the people, those 52 people, they come tired of all the communications with men. And they desire for, they ask for rest now. They are tired. But with the Lord you come never tired. Oh no. And if he wants to speak to your soul, oh, then you desire to hear that voice all the time. This is the voice of my beloved. He is coming leaping over the mountains and skipping over the hills. And that is to the satisfying of our heart. And if you belong to the people congregation, then the world and your own life, with all that is in it, they become more and more empty. Really empty. But by thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light we see light. And then sometime the Lord he opened that salvation for his people so wonderful that they look even over death and the grave to a blessed eternity where they forever shall be delivered. Because here in this life, people, that is now experimental and practice. But now here in this life, God's people, the same as those hushes, oh, we come time and again in the net. We come time and again in trouble. Today we are out and tomorrow we're in again. But the last promise that the Lord shall fulfill for all his dear people that is, and he shall deliver Israel of all their iniquities. And that shall the happiest day for all that people of the Lord. They come an end. There is no future for the world. There is no future for Assyria. No future for Babel. No future for Egypt. No future for all that belong to the devil. But for God's people, there is a future for them. And that people that shall soon be taken up in glory. And what here happens partly, because there is a desire in their heart to give all the praise and all the honor unto the Lord and to him alone. But all they creep in it with themselves time and again. Starting with the spirit and ending with the flesh. But they shall not be in heaven. No. There their people shall be delivered from self. No trouble with the world. No trouble with the devil. But there the Lord shall be all and in all. Oh, Krentrapers, Krentrapers, my dear congregation. I hope that the God of all grace will sanctify the few words spoken in this evening. It is not a long sermon this evening, but what I had in my heart, I had spoken it out in this evening. And I am glad that the Lord had given us that opportunity, even that it was 5 minutes, but only to extol the Lord, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, ruling the world, and of having compassion with the United States. Because there is not some here and there that know the Lord. There is here and there not people that is crying to him. Oh, that we could believe that I was involved in it, people. That I was involved too. And cry and a sigh out of the need of our soul for the deliverance and for the applying of the mediatorial work of Christ. And then when death come, tried as silver, we were in the water and the fire, but now the Lord had brought them as in a refreshing pasture, as in the Garden of Eden, as in Elim, with his palm trees and with his fountains. And that is Christ. That is the triune God, out him and through him. And to him are all things. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony that we were privileged to bring in this evening hour of this day. Oh, thou art so merciful, so kind, and so friendly, also to our nation. We could, in the bitterest sorrow and in the greatest misery already with our families, but Lord, thou hast protected, thou hast given us that privilege to come together in this evening with one another. Oh, bless the means of grace, and that we seek thee, and that we find thee as our portion for time and for eternity, with the pardoning of all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, what we do not do on Sunday, on the Sabbath day, but we will do that now in this special day, to sing the national song of America. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. All the stanzas, 'tis in the back of our shoulder, but you are Americans, you know it well. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.